I'll be reading today's scripture for you. They're on the back of your bulletin and on the screen for you to follow. The first one comes from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. The section scripture comes from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Ray. This is our third Sunday of studying the three R's. And does anybody remember what the first R was? Relationship. That's right. We talked about how relationships are so vital in life, especially school children, starting back to school, building new relationships with their new classmates, new teachers, and so forth. But also the importance of the relationship, that vertical relationship we have with God, and also the horizontal relationship that we are called to share with one another. Love God and love our neighbor. And then we talked about renewal, the second R, renewal of the mind, and how important it is to be transformed, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That part of our Christian walk, Christian discipleship, is to be renewed, having our minds renewed. And we do that through, of course, the study of God's Word, being involved in the Christian fellowship, reading and studying, and being a part of the church and the renewal of our minds. And then, of course, today we're talking about the third R, which is rooted. Rooted and built up, as Ray read from the scripture in Colossians and in Psalms. We're talking today about what it means to be rooted and built up in Christ. But before we talk about being rooted, we have to talk, I think, about balance. Balance. When we send our children to school, we, of course, hope that they're taught the three R's, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. Reading, of course, is very important. They got to know how to read. They need to know how to write, how to physically write letters and words, but also how to compose stories, paragraphs, and so forth, English, and all the writing and reading skills. They also need to know a little bit of math. And, of course, those are very generalized categories, but hopefully with those basics of the education world, reading, writing, and arithmetic, they'll have a balanced education. Someone asked me, what's the difference between a seminary education and a Bible college education one time? You know, a lot of pastors go to Bible college, but they don't necessarily go to seminary. And I said, well, there is a difference between a Bible college and a seminary. A Bible college primarily focuses on teaching the Word and how to preach the Word and how to interpret the Word. And the emphasis is on the Word. The Bible, and certainly that's true in seminary as well. But a seminarian, like myself and other elders in our conference and denomination and other denominations who go to seminary, get other courses as well, such as pastoral counseling, such as church administration, so that we know, you know, or try to know how to run the church, how the church works, the denomination works, and so forth. We learn, of course, the Greek and the Hebrew and the Old Testament and New Testament, church history, and all that, like Bible colleges. But we like to think that a seminary education is a little more encompassing, a little more comprehensive, a little better balance than a Bible college education. Nothing wrong with Bible colleges. It's just that it's a little more rounded in seminary. You know what a balanced diet is. We know what it is. Do we do it? That's a different story altogether, right? You know the food chain, the food pyramid thing that spells out the the basics on the bottom. You know the four basic food groups. I don't know. They keep changing this pyramid. It seems like every so many years, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. But basically, you have your four basic food groups, and we need a balanced diet through those kinds of diets. Several years ago, Stephen Covey wrote a book that sold, I don't know, probably billions by now. It was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It was written several years ago. I've read it two or three times myself, trying to get those concepts. And basically, he's talking about time management, how to manage our time, what is a priority, what is important, what is urgent, and putting first things first. So that, you know, when we go through our hectic days or work schedules, we try to focus on what's important and what's versus what's urgent and vice versa. So that's time management and balancing out our lives, our work lives. But it's important also to have a balanced spiritual life, a well-balanced spiritual life, a well-rounded spiritual life. And that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about today. Paul even used the analogy of the human body in chapter 12, I believe, of 1 Corinthians, where he talks about we need the hands, we need the feet, we need the legs, we need the ears, the eyes, all working together, all with their own function to what? To edify the body, to work together. And he used the human body as an analogy for the church, that as the church has its different parts. You know, one part of the church represents the arms, another part represents the legs, the eyes, the nose, the ears, and they all work together. No one part is more important than the other. And so there is symmetry, there is balance in the body of Christ, or that is at least the hope. But sometimes the body of Christ, the church, gets a little out of balance. How do we know this? Well, sometimes one part thinks it's more important than the other parts. For example, if no disrespect to any of the different groups within our church, the missions team may become so mission-minded that it forgets about the Bible study and the importance of Bible study, or the importance of the finance committee, or the trustees can get so focused on trusteeism or care of the building, they forget about the importance of prayer and worship and things like that. And so that's why, at least in the Methodist Church, we try to rotate people in and out of these different committees so they don't become so focused on that area of ministry that that's all they think about. And so we want balance in the church. We want everyone to know that evangelism is important, everyone to know that missions is important, everyone to know that Bible study and prayer and worship and taking care of our grounds, building and grounds, is important as well. And so we need that balance. The Christian life can sometimes get out of balance. And one of the things I learned many years ago is something called the general rule of discipleship. The general rule of discipleship. Now, what is that? Well, if we look at the Christian life, discipleship, and we're all called to be disciples, not church members, although church membership is part of that, my hope is that all of us are disciples. It says so on the front of our bulletin, that we're here to make what? Disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. But the general rule of discipleship deals with four areas that Jesus taught. Four areas that need balance. For example, our Christian life is made up of acts of compassion. Should be made up of acts of compassion. Now, what do we mean by acts of compassion? Acts of compassion would be helping the poor, reaching out to the needy, reaching out to those who are less fortunate. When we minister to the poor in our own community, when we send missionaries to Africa, when we do good things for people, it really boils down to doing good things. Did not Jesus give us the parable of the Good Samaritan? That's what acts of compassion are. Reaching out to someone, helping someone in need, be it food, be it clothing, be it a visit, a phone call, just kind, random acts of kindness. That's part of what it means to be a child of God, a disciple. But then to go along with that, there are also acts of justice. acts of justice. Jesus was all about justice for all. That's kind of where we get that in our country, in our constitution and whatnot. Justice for all. What do we mean by justice? Well, instead of acts of compassion, acts of justice are trying to change those systems that make people poor. Trying to change the structure or the things that are unfair, that treat people unfairly, that cause them to be in dire straits. A sense of social justice. Equality for all people. God's love availability for all people. So God's people are about justice. Acts of justice. Being involved in changing systems. Changing unfair laws. Yes, the church needs to be a voice when there's an injustice being done. Being involved in that process. So that all people are truly created equal. And then there are acts of worship. Acts of worship. Now we're getting more personal. The first two are kind of social or corporate, if you see what I'm saying there. Now we're moving into areas of personal piety, personal holiness. The first two are social holiness. The second two are personal holiness. And what do we mean by acts of worship? Coming to church. Celebrating the sacraments. Being part of a fellowship, being part of a fellowship of believers, and being involved in the life of a fellowship, a church, and being present. And then there are acts of devotion, personal devotion, and you all know what that is. Reading our Bibles, studying the Word, going to Bible study, doing our personal prayer lives, getting away on retreats, nourishing the soul, the individual. Jesus taught this as well. How many times do we read about Jesus getting away, going off to a quiet place, going to the mountain, going somewhere to be alone?